Civil Twilight. If it takes a bloodbath, let's get it over with. Ronald Reagan. In this, the latest version of history, which looks, as we enter into it, like just another block of vacants recolonized after being boarded up. Boards now torn down, but still no water or electricity, and so the street a latrine, and evening's air unbroken by turned-up TV talk shows. All the police's different voices, when they finally erupt, are so garbled by bullhorn and two-way radio, they become one, and so utterly incomprehensible. And so the very idea of authority perfected, head-splittingly loud and dumb. We walked, the sky above us fig flesh and baton black at the edges. And on the bus benches and fences around us, the graffiti eradication task forces, patches of color, earth-toned and muted. A sort of bland, abstract expressionism, which if the world itself were art, might hang on thrift store walls above the 10-deep stacks of Americana landscapes that sell occasionally for frame salvage, or what we might call irony, if we took the time to recognize it as such anymore. Irony, in the absence of perspective, being so easily mistaken for sincerity. But who couldn't love this view's sudden novelty? Traffic redirected. We stood in the middle of the empty six lane, stared out at the city. It was Napoleon III, when he leveled and rebuilt Paris's poorest districts, who called them riot streets. Long, straight boulevards too wide to barricade and arranged on a grid so that the beast of the people rising could be contained and attacked the whole length of its body. Yet it was with no old world stiffness, no particular sense of occasion, only instead those peculiarly American virtues of efficiency and enterprise which the SWAT team, each individual's blood type scrawled in permanent marker upon his neck, descended the steel grating of their armored transport's ramp single file, and then, in a maneuver choreographed with a textbook precision and punctuated by the lobbing of gas grenades, expanded to sweep the terrain. Mass eviction and mass arrest. Another clearing of the land, easy as the bolt cutter's blades through a padlock's hardened steel. A gesture natural now, after so many landing parties, after men on the moon. Descend and fan out and subdue. We witnessed masters practicing the fine art of brutality within its legally described parameters. It would be an insult. Boot treads pressure applied with such great care to a bare clavicle's tender skin, to consider them anything less. And so, like masters, their labor seemed effortless, almost automatic, some human machinery which would not hesitate, would not flinch reflexively before compressing with the nightstick a stranger's windpipe, and which would, later on, simply crack a few cold ones. A day's work done. One would have to really believe. Believe, even in the face of great doubt, that helpless face, that face swollen by disuse, one would have to have some measure of faith. As, beneath his helmet of hair, Reagan, when he ordered the bodies of students to convulse and fall, to fan out over Sproul Plaza's crisscrossing pavers, a cloud of CS gas pouring from the helicopters and guardsmen masked and bayoneted surrounding them, did. It's something I hadn't thought about for a very long time. High school civics. Our teachers retelling of the People's Park protests in Berkeley. I hadn't paid much attention, really. Eyeing instead in the next desk a girl's bra strap which had strayed just outside her top's neckline and so which, in the dress code's terms, constituted flagrant violation. I studied its lacy edge, lace's refusal to lead the eye anywhere in particular, its invitation to linger where one did not belong, that simple beauty of transgression. In May of 69, their hair down, topless young women offered soldiers lemonade dosed with LSD. Then, beatings, delirium, Reagan's "What do you mean, negotiate?" and the dust of bulldozers undoing trespass, the inevitable dust of orders return. And from that hazy distance, wasn't some moral supposed to have emerged? Some parade of millenarians hallelujahing down the median stripe, their earth-toned and loose-fitting clothes trembling in the breeze, their bells jangling in exultation of that final, that most complete genocide law once and for all having been handed down from on high? Instead, on flesh, riot guns inscribe their less lethal thou shalt nots, and we are constrained from every direction. Sidewalks from the ground up prescriptions, tattered and month-old police tapes yellowy warning beneath the firmament's unrelenting slate. There's something so shockingly ordinary about it all. Its repetitiveness, how it can no longer surprise us, even with its sudden violence. Descend and fan out and subdue, and over, until everything's tight as ship's rigging in a stiff offshore wind, masts and sails and rope back lit, the coast never yet fully cleared, or else a paint-by-numbers kit's strict circumscription, where, within the lines, any dilettante's a master. Where a small palette of colors, smoothed out tones, exile all details potential for complication. It's just so easy to take. A benign sky, Art 101 composition, which pulls the eye as if by force down to some singular figure just outside the background's reach. Who is that? Mounted there in the distance, Mesa and twilight rising behind him. Prince Jesus himself, maybe. Lawman made manifest and destined to occupy the whole of the territory with his gaze. He's wearing the Gipper's hat, and shifting in the Gipper's well-worn saddle, and ready to clip-clop right up to the frame's edge, to speak loudly, to speak with one clear voice. Though, of course, there's nothing there, save a stroke of cheap acrylic, a speck, a suggestion. All that was left of our Ronnie at the end, the great communicator robbed of speech, of thought, of memory, his hair plastered in sweat across his forehead, his soul like the Sybil sprawled in her little jar, gasping for air. And so, his final legacy. Mealtime and drug time. Then bedtime for Bonzo. The little room tidy and utterly unrecollectible. Every moment, another morning in America. To have a whole existence reduced to nothing but order. That invasive species in the ballast waters of history. History, which again has its gangplank down, which storms the coast, which gathers those things it comes across and stores them in the hold and forgets about them there. History, which so becomes us, without our even noticing it much. Like helicopters rattling again overhead, or prefab bulk institutional wall art. The sort of thing that hangs in lobbies of interstate adjacent motels and psych ward waiting rooms. When I went to see you there, you leaned in and told me all territory is occupied territory. Or you meant to tell me. Would have, certainly, if you'd spoken at all. You'd never believed they'd made it to the moon. All those hours of late night AM talk, you'd held out a little hope. By the time they found your body, it had long since stopped swaying in that small rented room off the alley, the funding for your bed long since slashed. I didn't hear about it for months afterward. Now, I can't remember much of that last time I saw you. I could hardly bear to look. Your eyes blank. What in your mind was wild, and everything else subdued, finally. My eyes kept wandering to that framed print behind you as I went on about the job I'd gotten, the girl I was about to marry. I think it was either a sunset or sunrise. Something bright and in the distance. From what I can remember, it was a very pretty picture.